Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the AVB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God Israel.
We were talking the last time on fighting faith. How do we fight faith? What is needed now? You know, we said the last time that in fighting faith, we trust God because we have turned from the faith concerning Christ Jesus, that which the Christian religion espouses and supports and advocates. Yes, we've turned to God from one faith to another faith, from the evil faith to that faith which is most righteous and good. We fight faith by proclaiming God's works. That was one thing we said. Look at these things here. My question is, what is needed now? Let's start with Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. False prophets, lying ministers, ministers that tell lies, preach lies, give the people things that are not right. Matter of fact, the lying teachers, the lying pastors, the lying preachers preach falsehood. How do we tell what preacher is preaching falsehoods? If they are preaching Jesus as Lord and Savior, they are preaching falsehood. The Authorized Version Bible has condemned these things. The Christian religion and the faith that it espouses and advocates and supports, that faith is the faith concerning Christ Jesus. The teaching concerning Christ Jesus has been condemned in the Bible. That is good news, good knowledge for us. Now, beware of lying preachers, okay? Lying Bible teachers. They call themselves ministers, pastors, priests, etc. The Bible has condemned them all. Next, we move to Matthew 24:11. And this is the enemy, the Bible says. The Bible calls these lying ministers of the Christian religion, well, just that, liars. Okay. Now, Matthew 24:11. Matthew 24:11. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Well, that's already happened, and it is happening. From generation to generation, lying prophets pop up. They have not ceased. As the Bible says, they cease not to teach and preach Christ Jesus, although that faith, that teaching has been condemned. It should have gone out with slavery, just as the Christian religion, the Bible says, should have gone out with slavery. False prophets. Again, lying Bible teachers, lying, supposed to be, lying, said to be false preachers. Said to be Bible preachers, Bible teachers. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay? Beware of them. Many rise. They continue to rise. They continue to deceive many people. This is the enemy. This is, the Bible says, an enemy has done this. Okay? Organized religion condemned by the Bible. That should be front page headline. Organized religion condemned by the Bible. Christian religion condemned by the scriptures, by the holy scriptures. Faith in Christ Jesus condemned by the holy scriptures. I'm just making known what is in the Holy Bible. Okay? And we need to be aware of these things. That's what the scripture said. Beware of them. Remove yourself from them. Okay? Acts 20:29-30. Acts 20:29-30. This. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Remember, ravening wolves, lying preachers. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. These things are already going on, people. They've been going on for many, many years. But as I keep reminding you, these things have been condemned. That's why the Bible calls them liars, lying prophets. What's that? Lying teachers, lying teachers who front with the Bible. Yes, they read scriptures. Yes, they do. But they pervert the scriptures. just as the scripture is saying, speaking perverse things, wrong things, things speaking things opposite to truth and in opposition to the truth. Organized religion, calling themselves Bible teachers, Bible ministers, calling themselves ministers of righteousness, but they are ravening wolves. They are evil people. You may say, well, your minister or your mother's minister is not evil. They're teaching perverse things. Teaching perverse things. Such as, Jesus died for your sins. Well, Jesus is not a real character in the Bible. And then in the Bible, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus himself is a sinner. He breaks laws. He is an unrighteous character in the Bible. But the lying prophets, the lying pastors and teachers teach Jesus as though he is a real character and that he is your Savior. Perverse thing. Jesus is not the Savior of the world. Jesus, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, again, is a sinner. In John, they said, it is written, we know that this man is a sinner. What man? The man Jesus. How do they know that? Because he broke laws. A lawbreaker. Jesus was a lawbreaker. Okay? But he is not a real, he is not a character that was real or who once really lived. Jesus is a fictitious character in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No man, a man cannot raise the dead. People who have died, a man can do that. A man cannot walk on water. We know that. Human beings do not walk on water. Human beings do not raise people who have died to life again. Those things are not done by human beings. Well, you say Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus in the Bible is not the Son of God in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's a sinner. Okay. He went about breaking laws. He loved to break laws. Okay. There is nothing righteous about the character Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One of the definitions of righteous is law-abiding. Jesus did not abide by the law. He was in opposition to the law. One law in particular is the law of the Sabbath. Okay, let's move on. We know this now. We know this. So preachers are preaching perverse things, wrong things. And the Bible does not have any mercy on these people. Why? They are teaching that which has already been condemned, and they put it in the Bible. And these things that I'm bringing forth are written for our learning, for our knowledge, for us to learn and act accordingly. Okay? Ravening wolves, lying ministers, lying preachers, lying pastors. As I said, the Bible condemns them all because the Bible has condemned the Christian religion and it has condemned the teaching of Jesus as Lord and Savior, etc. Condemned it. So again, the question is, why are they still in existence? Why are these things still being done? Because they are being done against the law. So the Gentile government, winks at the Christian religion. It winks at. It winks at the lying ministers, pastors, and all. It winks at them. What do I mean by wink at? government acts as though it doesn't see them. It closes its eyes to them. Okay? But just because the government winks at religion and the things done in the name of religion doesn't mean that those things are right. Those things are still wrong, and they have been condemned. They have been legally condemned. Okay? That's why they're in the Bible. Okay? And remember, the Bible is a law book. And get this thing right here. The Bible is not a religious book. The Bible is a law book. Listen. Again, the Bible condemns religion. The Bible condemns the teaching of Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you're going to still call it a religious book? No. The Bible is opposed to religion. Of course, the religionists are not going to tell you this because the Bible has already what characterized them as liars. They are liars. False prophets. Lying prophets. Prophet means teachers. Lying teachers, false teachers, ravening wolves, teaching perverse things. That's what you get when you go to the Christian church. You get a perverted teaching. You get lies. Simple as that. Again, if you want truth, do not go to church to get it, because they do not teach truth in the Christian church. They teach lies. That's what these scriptures are all about. False prophet. What does false mean here? It means lying. Telling lies. L-I-E-S. Okay. So the question is, do you believe the Bible? I present to you straight and straightforward, true Bible teaching. That's what I do. I was shocked to learn these things when I first found them out. I was shocked. Wow. You mean Jesus is not real? The Bible has condemned religion. The Bible has condemned the Christian religion in particular. Yes, that's what it teaches. That's what the Bible gives us. And the Bible is, in a sense, a book of remembrance. It itself says what? A book of remembrance. What was, brought into existence. Okay, what is the book of remembrance? That's the Bible. It causes us to remember former things. Former but not outlawed things. Former right things. The Bible has nothing good to say about those who teach and preach Jesus as Lord and Savior. Nothing good to say about them. That's the Bible. That is the Holy Bible. You need to tell your mama about this. You need to tell your children about this. You need to tell all your friends. You need to tell any and everybody you can find, because this is the work of the enemy, the teaching of Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. It is the work, as the Bible calls, the enemy. That the Bible calls the enemy. This news may be alarming, but it is true. The Bible has nothing good to say about those who teach Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. It has nothing to say about Christian ministers. Get that now. It never says, beware of lying prophets or teachers who come to you, but some of them are good. It never said that. It characterizes them all as evil and teachers of perverted things. teachers, yes, they do. But they teach perverted things, perverse things. That's what we call the enemy. This is the work of the enemy, teaching perverse things in the church, the Christian religion. Whether you call yourself Catholic, Protestant, it doesn't matter. They're all in the same boat. All in the same boat. Whether they call themselves Christian, they all are in the same boat. Remember, the Bible condemns the Christian religion. And you hear people saying so proudly, I am a Christian. I am a Christian. This is a Christian. He is a Christian. She is a Christian. My mom is a Christian. That's bad stuff. We are made to think that it's good stuff when it is bad, harmful, evil, wrong stuff. Christianity is condemned by the Bible, and as we are reading now, even the ministers, but this is not the first time we're hearing this from me. This is not the first time. Okay, just bringing it to your attention again. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. There are false teachers among you. Beware of them, Matthew 24 says. Beware of them. Know about them. Know about them. Because they come to you, and many of them say, God called me. God has not called them. Scripture has denied them the law. When I say scripture, I'm speaking of the law. Because remember, the Bible is a law book, not a religion book, a religious book. It's a law book, through and through. It's a law book which is in opposition to Christianity and its teaching. Isn't that something? The Bible, in opposition to Christianity and that which Christianity teaches and advocates and supports and speaks on and writes on. There should be a great outcry at the hearing of this information. This is a great awakening. Beware of your preacher. Get away from him or her. It doesn't matter. They are teaching perverse things. They are doing the work of the enemy. Whose enemy? Your enemy. Yes, from generation, every generation, they keep popping up. When they are supposed to be dead, Christianity is supposed to be dead. The Bible has declared Christianity and the teaching of Christ Jesus dead. Okay? Christian faith is declared to be dead by the Holy Bible. And I have presented you with that information. Okay? Let me read the whole thing here, though, in 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, and there are false prophets among you, among the people, even as there shall be false teachers, and there are false teachers among us, the Christian ministers, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. If you take this, what I teach, to your pastor, I'm pretty sure your pastor would probably say, that man doesn't know what he's talking about. But does the Bible know what it is talking about? Ask your preacher to do this one thing. ask your mama's preacher to do this one thing. Show one good thing that the Bible says about Christian ministers. Because I'm showing you the truth, you know, about the Bible, about those who use the Bible and teach Jesus. I'm showing you the bad things about them, but the true things about them. Liars, that's what they're called. Beware of lying ministers, lying teachers, lying prophets, Bible teachers, the ravening wolves, false prophets, and many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So it's good to know the truth. Yes, your preacher will tell you Jesus died for your sins. And all throughout the Bible, what the Bible teaches, a man dies for his own sins. Okay? I don't want to get off track. Now, knowing the enemy, the religionists, the Christian ministers, knowing the enemy who is constantly fighting against you, against me, what is needed? What do we need? They have lying ministers constantly coming to you, teaching their perverse things. What do we need? Here's what we need. I turn to Hebrews 5:12. Here is what we need. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you. Check this out right here. These five words, ye ought to be teachers. That which is not good has many teachers, inciting the faith that has to do with Christ Jesus, inciting Christianity, which espouses and advocates lies and deceives the people. We need teachers of the truth. Yes, we need teachers, just like the enemy has teachers. Those who love the truth, for the sake of those who love the truth, for the good of the people, we need teachers who preach, who teach. Preach itself is not a bad word. Let's get this correct, okay? It all depends on what you're preaching. Now, it's clear in the Bible that those who preach Christ Jesus, you know, are preaching lies, teaching perverse things, ravening wolves, lying pastors, lying ministers, deceiving the people. Many false prophets shall rise and deceive men. Okay. We need teachers of the truth. We need teachers of this information which I have provided for the people. This information, which is truth, needs teachers, just like the enemy has teachers. We need teachers. We need teachers teaching the people. You ought to be teachers. Hear me well. That's what we need. We need truth teachers. We need people, men, women, who teach the truth that has what we need. The enemy has teachers. Truth needs teachers. Do you care? Do you care? Okay, so that answers the question, what is needed now? Teachers of the truth that has come from God is what we need now. Ye ought to be teachers of the truth of God. To see to it and make sure that truth stays here and that truth stays alive and that truth grows among the people. Truth is made known among the people. And truth is made known by the people, those who love it, those who care for others. Those who love God, the one the Bible calls God, the true Lord. Because truth is your salvation. Without truth, you have no knowledge that your pastor or your mama's pastor or whoever that the pastors, those who teach Christ Jesus, are liars. Without the truth, you would not know that, and the people would not know that. We need supporters of the truth, advocates of the truth, teachers of the truth that has come from God. The truth has been that has been provided by God, the God Israel, the true and living God. Okay, here's something, and don't forget that. The Gentiles' Confession, James 2:9. I have brought to you some confessions, some Gentile confessions before. Here's another one. James 2:9. That's not it. Let's see here. If I have it written out. Oh, okay. Let's see. I have it written out here, but I want to find it in the book. James. Here it is. James 3:9. Let me make that correction. All right. James 3:9, the Gentiles' Confession. Listen at this. All right. I'll read the entire statement, then I'll focus. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Okay, look at this, starting with the word curse, we men. Curse, we men. Now let's make sense of that. Okay. Reading it correctly, we would read, it reads, we curse men. Okay, we the subject, then the verb, and etc. Okay. We curse men. Who is the we? The we is the speaker for the Gentiles. The we is a reference to the Gentiles. Okay? We curse men. What men do the Gentiles curse? Or what men have the Gentiles curse? men which are made after the similitude of God. Now, in order to understand that, we must know who the Bible calls God, and then see who looks like God, who is made in the likeness of God, who is like God. Okay, well, you should already know who the Bible calls God, okay? This is what I teach. The Bible calls me God because it does, okay? And I've taught much on that. So go back into the archives, familiarize yourself with that information. Who is God? Okay. It's in the archives, and I'm constantly saying it. You know what I'm saying? But if you want the scriptures and all, go back in the archives and see. I do the work of God. I do the things which the Bible says God will do. In the eyes of the Bible, he who does the work of God is God. Okay? The Bible does not make mistakes. Okay? The Bible has declared this present speaker God repeatedly throughout itself. Okay? All right? So, God is a black man. I am a black man. Okay? Now, who is made after the similitude of God? Black people. Black people are made in the likeness of God. You know, God is a black man. So, who would God's people be? God's people would be the black people. All right? Now, understanding the statement. The Gentiles' confession. We curse men which are made after the similitude of God. We curse black men. Men meaning people. Male and female here. Okay? Because that's what they did. They cursed. They put the curse on all black people. People who are made in the similitude of the living God. Okay. The Bible does not support anything up in the sky and call it God. No. The Bible clearly defines God. Okay. It gives the characteristics, the infallible characteristics of God. Okay. The Bible is the chief in other words, if you want to know anything about God in the Gentile world, you have to turn to the Bible to get that knowledge. Okay. If you want to know the characteristics of God, you have to go to the Authorized Version Bible to get them. Right? Because it gives them. So when God does come forth, there can be no mistake can be made. He must meet, that individual must meet the qualifications set down and characteristics must be present in that individual that the Bible sets forth and gives forth. I feel the bill for God. Okay? No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. Okay? Now, but the point here is the Gentiles' confession. They confess here in this statement that they cursed, because it's a past tense thing, they have cursed black people. And I have presented information on the curse to you on this program. Lawmasters, Law of God program here. I presented that information. Okay? Much information on the curse. Then I have the book, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. The book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, in which I have set down the curse. The Gentiles cursed upon black people. Yeah.
The curse comes from the Bible. The curse is in the Bible, people. Okay. Which I have spoken on and presented. I have presented matter on the curse. The Gentiles curse against black people. And they confess that they curse black people. Black people, because black people are made in the likeness of God. Because what? The Bible's God is now. The Bible's God is a black man. People who are made after the similitude of God. People who look like God. People who are characterized as black. We know what black people are. I don't have to expound on that. If you're black, you're made in the similitude of God. Because God is a black Bible. That's why it has in the Bible there a statement for God, which says, I am black. I'm a black man. Okay. They curse black people. Was there ever a time when Gentiles enslaved black people? The answer to that, of course, is yes. History tells us that. Okay? That's a part of the curse. Black people's enslavement by their captors, the Gentiles. That's a curse. That's executing the curse. Executing a turn of the curse. Enslavement of black people. The captivity of black people by the Gentiles. Another turn of the curse. Right? Taking black people out of the category of mankind and putting them into a category of things that are bought and sold as depicted in Revelation 18. I have presented that. That's a term of a curse. Okay? Don't say the Gentiles never put a curse on black people. Yes, they did. Now, do you know what a curse is? Okay. Do you know what a curse is? Look, get a good dictionary and look up the word curse, okay? But the point of the matter here is this is a Gentile confession. A confession of the Gentiles, coming from the Gentiles. We curse men who are made in the likeness of God. We curse men who are made in the similitude of God. We curse men who look like us. We curse black people because that's what they did. That's history. They teach that. They don't use the word curse. They say they enslaved black people. Historically, we know that happened. Well, this is an admission. And this is important because this is in the Bible. One of the terms of the curse is giving black people false information. Did they do that? Yes. What false information they gave black people when we were slaves? They gave us the information that Jesus was our Savior, that Jesus died and rose again for us, you know, and all like that. That they gave us the information that Jesus is a real entity, a real person who is coming back again, some say, in what they call the rapture and all like that. They gave us lies. That's a term of the curse. Now, do you know more than the Bible? What's written in the Bible is written from first-hand information. First-hand information. People who were there and saw what was going on. Accurate information. Now, do you know more than the Bible? And do you know more than the Gentiles? The Gentiles, this is a statement coming from the Gentiles. We curse men who are made in the similitude of God. We curse black people. wanted to bring that to your attention. Knowing what is in your Bible, knowing what is in your mama's Bible, okay? You say you believe the Bible. Why your preacher, why your mama's preacher doesn't teach these things what I teach? These things are in the Bible, people. These things, these are not just words. We curse men who are made in the similitude of God. Those are not just words. That you read, that you should read and just read over, and you know, just for the sake of reading. This is intellectual knowledge. Bible matter, the crucial matter of Bible content. It is intellectual knowledge. Let's go on. Just remember that. In your Bible, in the Authorized Version Bible, the Gentiles confess to cursing black people. They confess. Okay? Now, they confess to God. And I see it. I see the confession. Okay, let's go on. Tommy Hart, the living God, has come, has done marvelous things. He has revealed himself. That is a marvelous thing. He has revealed himself as the Lord God. God is the Lord, which has showed us light, showed us knowledge. Book of Psalms. Okay? This man is the great power of God. What man? The present speaker here. The Bible has said. Okay? He has revealed himself. I have revealed myself. I've told you that the Bible calls me God. Okay? And shown you. I've done that. And that is a marvelous thing. He, God, revealing himself, making known himself. He has resurrected the Gentiles' law of the curse against black people. Yes, I have. And then I've also, as I have done just now, shown you the Gentiles' confession regarding their cursing of black people. All right. He has made known the Gentiles' conspiracy involving the enslavement and scattering of black people. He has resurrected the judgment against the Christian religion and the faith which concerns Christ Jesus. Yes, the living God has done marvelous things. True or false? Is this statement here true or false? Hosea 4:1. Let's see. What does Hosea 4:1 say? Hosea 4:1 says there is no knowledge of God in the land. It says more than that, but I just want to focus on this point. It says there is no knowledge of God in the land. There is knowledge of God in the land. Before I came, before I was born, there was knowledge of God in the land. Okay? So what am I saying? The Bible, the scripture here says there is no knowledge of God in the land. I'm saying there is knowledge of God in the land because it's a true or false statement. Okay? The statement is false. Before I came, all right, the Bible was in existence. The Bible was here. The Authorized Version was here. In the Authorized Version Bible, it has knowledge concerning God. Okay? That's true. I'm reading about it. I read about it. I mean, that's indisputable. In the Authorized Version Bible, there is knowledge concerning God. So if you want to say that there is no knowledge of God in the land, then that would be false. Watch this right here. All right. Acts 11. Acts 11, verse 1. The statement, the latter part of the verse, the Gentiles had also received the word of God. What word of God? What does "of" mean there? It means the word concerning God before I came, because they already had the Bible. Right? They already had the Authorized Version Bible. So the Gentiles had already received the word concerning God, even before God came. Yes. So then the statement, if you want to say there is no knowledge of God in the land, the statement is false. It's deemed false, rendered false. Okay? Follow me closely. John 4:24. Let's see what that statement says. John 4:24. Okay, it says, God is a spirit. Is God a spirit? Is the living God a spirit? Now, let's ask the question, what is a spirit? Okay. Now, if you say that a spirit is something that you can't see, you can't touch, like that, a spirit is not some tangible thing, some concrete thing, then the statement is false. Because you're hearing my voice right now, and I can be touched. Okay? I can be touched. I can be seen. You hear my voice, my audible voice. You hear it. Okay? I'm not a spirit. I'm a human being. Okay? John made a statement about that, and if I cannot turn straight to it, I won't worry about it. Okay, I won't worry about it. Anyway, the statement says, a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. You can tell I'm a human being because of my voice. You're not going to say, I wonder what he is. Or you're going to say, you hear that man? You know I'm a man because you hear my voice. You don't wonder whether or not I'm a spirit when you hear my voice on this program. You don't wonder that. You might say something like I said. Do you hear what that man just said? You don't say, do you hear what that spirit just said? Okay? Point is, what? I am a human being because we know who God is. We know who the Bible calls God. We're not talking about maybe who you may have called God at one time or thought was God. We're talking about the true God, the true living God. Okay? So, God is a human being. Okay? So, if a spirit is something that you can't see, feel, and touch and all like that, then the statement is deep. It's rendered false, okay, because God is a human being, all right? Next statement, true or false, Psalm 44:21. It says this, he knows, let me turn to it back to 44:21. All right, he knows the secrets of the heart. Does God know the secrets of the heart? Well, we have to know what the heart is. Heart is a reference to the heart of the Authorized Version Bible. I teach things coming from the heart of the Bible, okay? All right. Qualify heart there. Heart. The deep truth of Bible content, okay? All right, the heart, that which is most innermost, okay? I teach the crucial matter of Bible content, okay? That's the definition I give for heart. The crucial matter. Things what the average person may not see or simply overlook. I deal with the heart of Scripture. Right? Yes. So the statement is true. God knows the secret of the heart. Right? And I don't have the time right now to expound on it. Okay? But that statement is true. 1 Timothy 5:8. Let's see what it says. First Timothy 5:8 says this. He hath denied the faith. Who is the he a reference to? The he there is a reference to God, the living God. Have I denied the faith? And if so, what faith have I denied? I have denied the Christian faith. I have denied the faith which the Bible has condemned. Okay? All right. So the statement there is true about God. He hath denied the faith. Just that. Don't go any further than what I go. Okay? All right. God has denied the Christian faith. All right. Next statement, 2 Timothy 2:13. All right. Is anything too hard for God? That's a question that's in the Bible, okay? All right. Here's one thing. Can God do this? Is this statement true right here about God? He, God, cannot deny himself. He, God, has denied the Christian faith. He, God, has denied the faith which concerns Christ Jesus. Scripture says, he, God, cannot deny himself. I cannot. I cannot deny the fact that in the Authorized Version Bible, Scripture declares me God and calls me God repeatedly over and over and over again. I cannot deny that fact. All right? So that statement is true about God. Okay? Job 12:22. All right, Job 12:22 says that he, God, discovers deep things. Is that true about God? Yes, that statement is true about God. I have discovered great things, deep things. Deep things like the Bible has condemned the Christian religion. The Bible has condemned the faith that has to do with Christ Jesus. Deep things like who is God? Who is God? I've discovered these things. I've discovered the Gentiles' curse upon black people that is in the Bible. I've discovered the Gentiles' confession that they curse black people. That's in the Bible. Yes, God discovers great things. That statement about God is true. Job 28:11. Job 28:11 says, the thing that is hid brings he, God, forth to light. God reveals things that are hid. Of course, that's true. It is hidden in Scripture that the Bible condemns what the Christian religion. It is hidden that the Bible condemns faith concerning Christ Jesus. It's hidden. I bring them out. I bring the hidden things forth. Okay, that statement is true about God. Okay, Daniel 2:22. All right, let's see what it says. Daniel 2:22, he, God, reveals the deep and secret things. Yes, I do that. The living God does that. Right? These things are true about God. Those are characteristics of God. Okay? The ethos of God. Those things are in the ethos of God. Okay? And that's what I mean when I say, I do the things the Bible says God will do. Okay. That's what I mean when I say I seal the bill for God. Okay. John 16:15. And I'm going to have to get to the USA's motto and pledge, maybe and hopefully the next time. Okay, that was John 16:15. Scripture says, he, God, shall take of mine and shall show it to you. I take things from the Scripture, from the Holy Bible, the Authorized Bible, and I show them to you, just like I showed you, just like I'm showing you these Scriptures right here, and just like I showed you the statement on the Gentiles' confession. All right? I take things from the Scriptures, from the Bible, and I show it to the That statement is true of God. That statement is also true of me. Why? Because the Bible calls me God. Okay? All right. Psalm 62:11 says, God has spoken once. All right? Have I spoken once? Have I spoken twice? Have I spoken many times? If I have spoken twice, I have spoken first once. Right. Have I spoken only once? Has God spoken only once? No, God has not spoken only one time. God has spoken once. God has spoken time and time again. your own judgment on that, whether or not you want to say that statement is true or false. God has spoken once, okay? I say this. I've spoken many times, and if I have spoken many times, then I have spoken once. Okay? Right. Isaiah 57:8. Isaiah 57:8 says this, thou hast discovered thyself. That's a statement Scripture says to me, to the living God, thou hast discovered thyself. That statement is true. I've discovered that the Bible calls me God. I've discovered that the Bible has declared me to be the living God. Acts 11:1, and I read that earlier, the statement that said the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Yes, they had. They had received the word concerning God. Now the Gentiles must receive the word coming from God. They must receive the word coming from the present living God. They must do that by law. They must receive my word. The Gentile, alias white people, those who cursed black people, those who enslaved black people, those who bought and sold black people, those who reduced black people to the status of merchandise, things bought and sold, those who conquered black people. Okay. All right, I covered all those items. Feature statement. Ecclesiastes 10:19. Let's see what the feature statement says. Ecclesiastes 10:19, last statement in the verse, money answers all things. Is that statement true or false? Does money answer all things? The scripture said money answers all things. Is it true or false? Let's see. Now, in order to understand the statement, we must know, first of all, what the word answer means, and we must know what all things are. Okay? These things are statements of concern. Ecclesiastes 1:13 says, seek and search out thy wisdom concerning all things. That's a command. Seek and search out thy wisdom concerning all things. Can money do that? Can money seek and search out? Can money obey that command? Does money answer all things? Is that statement true? Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:18. It says this about all things. All things are of God. All things are of God. Okay? Of there means all things are concerning, all things are about God. And it's also true to read, all things are from God. Let's take it, though, to first, all things are concerning God. Okay? The statement, remembering the statement in question here. Money answers all things. All things. Let's continue. Luke 24:27. Luke 24:27. Okay, it says, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He's God. Okay. And I have done that. I have expounded to you. Now, in fact, I did that in this episode here a few minutes ago when I was reading those other things, like he discovers deep things and all that stuff. Okay. Can money do that? Can money do what I'm doing? Does money answer all things? Hebrews 3:4. He that built all things is God. It didn't say money that built all things. All things have to be built. All things have to be, as we saw earlier, sought out, searched out. Okay? All things have to are built. All things are assembled. All things are put in order. All right? Placed properly. Can money do that? Can money seek and search out all things? All right? Does money answer all things? Let's see here. The word answer here means this, when it says money answers all things. The proper definition for answer is fulfilled satisfactorily, complies with. Does money fulfill the command, seek and search out all things? Does money fulfill the implied commandment to find, understand, and assemble all things? Can money do that? He that built all things is God. It doesn't say he that built all things. It's money. All right? 2 Timothy 2:7. The Lord give thee understanding in all things. Can money give you understanding concerning all things? It says, the Lord give you understanding concerning all things. It says, the Lord built or assembled or, you know, put all things together, constructed all things. The Lord did. God did. Okay? God has sought out and searched out all things. All right? I'm beginning to think that money cannot do those things. Okay. Psalm 119:128 there. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts, and the statement here is made to God. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. What does money say about all things? Has money stated some precepts concerning all things? No, but God has, and he is. And he said, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Hosea 14:9. Hosea 14:9 says this, the ways of the Lord are right. I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And the scripture says to me, says about me, all thy ways are right. The ways of the Lord are right. Now, what is the conclusion regarding the Ecclesiastes 10:19 statement? The conclusion is this. All things are sought out by God, not by many. All things are searched out by God, not by many. All things are worked out and put together and assembled by God, not by many. All things are known by God. All things are explained by God. Therefore, it is God who answers all things. Conclusion, money does not answer all things, but God does. What is truth? Truth is the Ecclesiastes 10:19 statement on money and all things is false. False. What does God know? God knows the Ecclesiastes 10:19 statement on money and all things is false. What has God done? God has proved the Ecclesiastes 10:19 statement on money and
statement, the Ecclesiastes 10:19 statement on money and all things is false. God answers all things. God fulfills satisfactorily all things. God complies with all things. Until the next time.